What's up, South Canyon? This is Pastor Tanner from South Canyon Baptist Church. I am the pastor of student and family ministry, and with me is Pastor Joel, pastor of our worship ministry here at South Canyon, and then the head honcho, the head pastor himself, Pastor Brent Reeves. So in our last episode, we talked about redeeming the time and talked about, you know, kind of how to be wise in this time of coronavirus and in probably just in general, how to be wise on social media and using technology. So with that said, I kind of promised this to people that listen to this podcast or watch this video about some recommendations that we might have to redeem the time and to fill our time well in this point in time. So with that said, let's just start off with books. As you can probably see on the video, if you're watching, we all have piles of books. So why don't we just do this? What I'm going to have us do is do one book at a time, and some of us may have more books than other. It looks like Joel has the most. But if that's the case, then we'll just come back to you and you can do multiples. But
some of these are go together.
So why don't we actually start with you, Joel? And Joel, just basically say, hey, like, this is what the book is, this is who wrote it, and this is why maybe our listeners will think it's interesting.
Yeah. One book that I have to say I've started, I haven't finished it yet, but it's a book by Elise Fitzpatrick, who's a Christian author. She's written a number of things. I think Pastor Brent is reading another book by her that she co-wrote with a pastor. But this one's called Home, and it's the subtitle's How Heaven and the New Earth Satisfy Our Deepest Longings. And that's a theme that we, even in our men's retreat earlier this year, ended up focusing a little bit on at the end, at the conclusion, just thinking more about heaven and the new earth and that our kind of our future hope, future kind of existence. And sometimes there can be confusion or even fear about what that's going to look like. And so this, what I've appreciated so far, I mean, I really appreciate her writing style and tone, and it's very, you know, very biblical. But she talks about the idea that that sense of homesickness or longing that we have, I mean, Lewis has kind of written about that sometimes as well, or even the idea of nostalgia, where we kind of have this idea of something we want to go back to, you know, home we grew up in, or the neighborhood, or whatever, that all of that is really pointing us towards this sense of displacement, because we're not in the home we were meant to be, like, with God in a, you know, in a perfect place, dwelling with him. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to going through the whole thing and finishing it, but I've appreciated it so far, and it's a great topic, great theme. So
on the topic of nostalgia, there's actually a podcast recommendation that I'm going to talk about that's two of the guys that are on the podcast. They specifically love being nostalgic and talking about nostalgia in general as a topic. So I think for the Christian, it is kind of a sweet thing. We have, the Lord has graced us with good memories that we can dwell on, but we'll have a greater memory eventually. So, Brent, what about you? What's the first book that you've got for us?
I think the first book that I would mention is Basic Christianity by John Stott. Mm. It's a book that I've used over and over and over again as I have met with guys, as I have discipled people. I've used it with new Christians, but I've also used it with people who've been Christian for a long time, because it goes back to the basics, but he deals with it in a very deep way. Stott, to me, one of the best things about Stott is that he is, as I heard someone say, he is simply profound and profoundly simple. Mm. And I think that's what he is. He can make it simple, but it's still very profound. And so that's a book that I would encourage. If you've not read it as a believer, I would encourage you to do so. And again, it can be a great tool for reading with other people, especially those who are newer to the faith, or even those who've been in the faith for a long time, just to reinforce some key things about our faith.
That's great. I think the first book I want to share with you all is 131 Christians Everyone Should Know. The foreword is written by J.I. Packer. So for some of you out there, you may think, oh my gosh, J.I. Packer wrote the foreword. I'm definitely not going to read that book, because that means it's really dense. But it's not true. This book is really, really great. I've actually thought about, especially whenever, Lord willing, I ever have children, using this book as maybe a nightly devotional with them and reading to them about certain people in the faith. But I love this book. I actually had it for a church history class at seminary, and I'm just so profoundly thankful that I have this book, because it's been such an encouragement to me in my faith. And specifically, there's a couple of people in the 131 that I really, really like. I really like the story of Patrick. So St. Patrick, if you're familiar with that, his actual story is just super, super encouraging. He was a slave that came to know Christ during his slavery and went back to the place that he was actually a slave and helped convert most of the nation of Ireland, which is pretty amazing. And then there's a really encouraging story about this lady named Perpetua, who was a martyr in the very early church, that if you haven't heard of Perpetua, I would encourage you to listen or to find out something about Perpetua. She's really, really a fascinating person in early church history. Joel, what's the next book you've got for us, brother?
I'm just going to jump in real quick. I would imagine what's so great about a book like that is there's 131 Christians there, and we just, I know the pastors with some of the TPA students, we read a chapter in one of John Piper's books talking about the importance of biography, Christian biography. And I think just going through such a big survey like that, there's you never know. I think like God only knows who's going to really connect like their story and some of the details about them. There's just for some reason really going to connect with you, and maybe it'll inspire you. Maybe it'll even like push you towards, you know, whatever God has for you, missions or ministry or so on. But you know, God only knows who that's going to be. Like, mm-hmm. I think all of us probably have different people who've really had an impact on us. For me, like David Brainerd mm-hmm. was one of those. And just like getting introduced to so many that way, and then there may be just two or three that really jump out at you, like you've shared, and then maybe you read more or you study more and get to know more of their stories. But I think that's a great way to just get introduced to a whole lot. So that seems like a great resource. One thing I'll just mention quickly, because I've actually mentioned this before, I picked up this book recently. It's called Everyday Matters, and it's a biblical approach to productivity. So this is by a guy who is a professor at Westminster Theological Seminary. He's also, I think, an elder in his church. He has a lot of responsibilities, a lot going on. He just writes a lot of a biblical perspective and like a biblical foundation for time management, which of course we were even talking about, you know, redeeming the time on our last podcast. But then also taking some of the more practical tools that even just by common grace people have come up with over the years in terms of like time management, and just taking the best of that, and then trying to still filter it through a Christian perspective, things like setting goals and just being organized. And you know, he's even inspired me to like buy a little weekly planner so I can, you know, write stuff down more. But I found it just really helpful because it's very much from a Christian perspective. You know, he talks about, you know, the Old Testament, he talks about Paul and kind of just provides a whole foundation. So I found it super helpful. And I think anyone, not that everyone has to, you know, read this book, but I think anyone would find it helpful, whether you're a student, whether you're, you know, staying at home, whether you're in the workforce or whatever it might be, I think it'd find it valuable. So I've found it really helpful personally.
That reminds me of another book about Christian productivity by Tim Challey. It's called Do More Better. Mm-hmm. And he's basically saying, okay, what things do we have right now that we can use kind of to help us that we maybe just haven't thought about using more robustly at this point in time? It's a good suggestion, Joel, especially right now. Brent, what's your next one, brother?
Well, going back to biographies and people that you, in the book you referred to, this probably, well, you can't tell what that says because it's blank. The Shadow of the Almighty is the testimony, the story of Jim Elliot, who was martyred in South America among the Alca Indians. This is the story of kind of his sense of calling and his college years. And really what you have in this book is his journaling. Mm. And so it's his writing that his wife Elizabeth Elliot put together to tell the story not only of their time in college, but then their work on the mission field and all of the things that were a part of their life together. I guess I was in high school when I read this, and it was the first thing that I read that began to melt my heart and motivate my heart in regard to world missions and taking the gospel to those who haven't heard. And so it was sort of the beginning of me being convicted and challenged and excited about the thought of taking Christ's gospel to those who've never heard. So, Shadow of the Almighty by Elizabeth Elliot.
I know that he's a great example of what it looks like just to simply be sold out for Christ. And I know for a lot of students at the church that I was previously at, that was a book that parents would read with them just to encourage them to say, hey, look how in love you can be with God and for the mission of Jesus to, you know, basically sell out and even give your life over for that. I think that's a really, really good book. I love that book as well. The next book I have for you is not to be this guy in it, but you should be reading the Bible. That's an obvious thing for our Christians in general, and hopefully for you all in the church, it's an expectation. We want you all to read the Bible, but I'm specifically talking to any students that are out there. You guys should be reading your Bible. If you have the YouVersion Bible app, I can actually get notifications. There are actually a couple of students that I get notifications about when they're reading their Bible, and it's really encouraging to me. So read your Bible. It's really good. If you want to start off with something that I think is really encouraging or will help you just come to know Jesus better, I would recommend just the book of John. And if you'd like to read that with me, I'm specifically talking to students. If you would like to read that with me, maybe over Zoom, hit me up. But read your Bible. Kind of in regard to that, for the parents in the room, as you guys are thinking about, because you probably have a little bit more time to read the Bible, and which means you might be going into some kind of unfounded territory like Leviticus or maybe Ecclesiastes. I find Ecclesiastes to be a very complicated book. I don't know about you brothers, but a book that was really helpful for me in regard to just basic interpretation of the Bible, finding out what the meaning of a text is and how we even got to our English translations, was 40 Questions About Interpreting the Bible by Robert Plummer. It's a really good book. It seems like an academic book, but it's really, really encouraging. And something I love specifically about Dr. Plummer is he's just kind of an encouraging person in general. So his hope in this whole book is that you will read your Bible and learn to trust it more. So for you parents out there, not only should you be reading the Bible maybe with your kids, but this is a great book to help you maybe learn how to interpret the Bible a little bit better. Okay, Joel, what about you? What's the next one for you?
Yeah, so my last one, I'm really not going to do three more rounds here. This is all kind of one thing. I just wanted to also make a plug, and this goes right off of what Tanner was just saying. By the way, Dr. Plummer's great. I had him a lot, and I still watch some of his videos about Greek, so I love hearing his voice. But just commentaries. There are a lot of commentaries being produced right now by really solid guys and solid publishers, which are intended to be more accessible, where these are ones that I think all the pastors, we own some in these series and may use them to help in sermon preparation, and yet they're not like mostly going into the Greek and the Hebrew or having lots of really like dense academic scholarly type of stuff. So it could be really useful just for your own personal devotions, your own personal study, or reading through with your kids and just helping to make sense of, you know, whether it's ones we view as more difficult or ones we think, you know, we understand really well, and there may be, you know, more there that we haven't really considered or understood. So one of them is, this series is called, this one is Galatians for You, but any of them, it'll just say the name of the, you know, the title of the biblical book, and then for you. It's usually like blue or red or kind of this cool design. So this one's written by Tim Keller. And again, there's just like a whole series of these that have been published. And again, very, very accessible, lots of, you know, illustrations and things to help make sense of it and bring it to life just for the reader. And then another series is called Christ-Centered Exposition. So Exalting Jesus in, again, you know, this is Hebrews. This one is by Al Mohler, this is one by David Platt, and it's, you know, Exalting Jesus in Matthew, but it's Christ-Centered Exposition. And again, just, you know, going through the entire book, lots of examples, lots of stories, analogies, but just helping to unpack the text, and I think it'd be, they're very useful just for, you know, any Christian. It's not way, way over your head, but it can just help you to go deeper. So those kinds of things I think could be really useful for people. And just knowing that they're intended for you, they're not just intended for the seminary student or for the pastor. And there could just be a lot of good that could be gained from that. So
two out of three of those commentaries, those guys have PhDs. But David Platt, as far as I'm aware, maybe isn't a doctor of philosophy or something like that. So it's really encouraging to see just kind of normal pastors and writing a commentary. I would say Tim Keller is a normal pastor, but the way he thinks and the way he writes makes me think he's not normal. If you guys want to Google a funny thing, Google Tim Keller's sermon notes, and it looks like it is elvish writing out of Lord of the Rings. But with that said, Brent, what's the next thing you have for us, brother?
Well, I'll use that as a segue into one of the books that I would recommend. It's Timothy Keller, The Meaning of Marriage. I think it's one of the best books. I've read lots of books over the course of my 30-plus years of marriage, and many of them have been helpful, but this one maybe has been as helpful or more helpful than anything I've read, and I use it quite a bit in marital counseling. And even here at the church, when we have marriage classes, quite often this book is a primary part of the teaching content in those life classes on marriage. So, Timothy Keller, The Meaning of Marriage.
It's a great book. I actually use that for my premarital counseling. Did you guys do that at all?
I guess it wasn't out
I may have been out for my time.
How old was Keller when I got married in 1986? We need to figure that out.
My last book recommendation is just What is the Gospel by Greg Gilbert. So obviously this book hits a little bit closer to home. Greg was my pastor at one point in time, but I love this book. It's a great introduction to just answering that question, what is the gospel? It's God, man, Christ, and response. And so, especially for members of our church, if you know of maybe an unbeliever that you're wanting to introduce them to the gospel, this is a great book to read with those believers. Greg does try to eventually persuade you of the gospel, but I think what is really good here is Greg gives a great kind of biblical overview of the gospel and how we can talk about kind of those four facets, God, man, Christ, and our response to all of those things. So, What is the Gospel by Greg Gilbert? I know that we have a ton of copies of this in our book stall here at South Canyon, so definitely grab one of these. If you haven't read it, I'm going to encourage you to, but use it as an evangelistic springboard for your friends and for your family.
I imagine we could we could set something up. If someone needs one of these books, like curbside pickup kind of thing.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
We could bring it out to you. Or
bring your own Clorox wipes, though. Brent, I see you have a couple more books, brother. So why don't you just kind of tell us about those last two books?
Yeah, the last two books I have here are Jerry Bridges and Trusting God. It's another book that has shaped my way of thinking about God's sovereignty, God's providence, particularly as it relates to suffering. It's just really, really biblical, and Jerry Bridges is humble in the way that he presents what he presents, and it's a book, again, that I've read through with people that I'm attempting to encourage and disciple and so forth. And then the last one is going back to the theme of missions that I mentioned earlier with the Shadow of the Almighty biography. John Piper's book, Let the Nations Be Glad, was another turning point in many ways in terms of my thinking. I don't remember when I read this. It wasn't too long after it came out. I think I was actually pastoring two churches before this one when I read this for the first time, and it has significantly affected my thinking and given me a real heart to see members of the church that I serve consider seriously their calling and the possibility that God may be calling them to go to the nations. If not, God calls us all either to go to send or to disobey. Those are our three options. And I think this book helps us to think about that and is very helpful. And it focuses on, it's a God-centered approach to missions that we do go to the nations because we care about people and they're good, but our ultimate motivation is we go to the nations because we care about God and His glory. And we want to see the nations worship Him and be glad in Him.
I'm a big John Piper fan, if you guys couldn't tell. But I love that book. Actually, one of my buddies was actually saved by reading that book. Now, obviously, like, the Bible is kind of what saves you, but that book is basically what convinced him of the importance of God's glory and how important that should be in his life. And I think his hope eventually is to go overseas. So really, really great book. I think out of kind of all those books that you've recommended, obviously the Jim Elliot one is one of my favorites, but Let the Nations Be Glad, I would say, is a must read for maybe every Christian, because he kind of does a good job of breaking down. You either need to be a sender or a goer for missions. So let's go to the next kind of thing of recommendations. Let's talk about podcasts. I love podcasts. I don't know about anybody else in here or anybody watching, but I listen to podcasts at 2x speed. unless they have a British accent, then it becomes a little bit harder. and that's no offense to anybody that might have a British accent. But I just need to slow it down a little bit. But with that said, I've got a couple of recommendations. Why don't we start with you, Brent? What are maybe just a couple of recommendations that you have for some podcasts we can listen to?
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier today, and so I just jotted some notes down here. One that I would recommend is the Elisa Childers podcast. It's sort of an apologetics podcast. I came to know about her because she was in a Bible study with someone who was the child of someone who was in one of our churches before, and it was a Bible study that was trending toward progressive Christianity, and Elisa Childers for a while didn't have answers for some of the things she was being taught and hearing in this Bible study in this particular church, and she began to do research and began to become an apologist in a sense as a result of her working through the pressure that she felt, and as well as the questions and the doubts, the objections that were being raised about Christianity as she had always believed it. And so anyway, she has a website, or rather a podcast, and it's called just the Elisa Childers Podcast. It's very good. And I actually was listening to a podcast yesterday and this morning called Talking to Your Kids About Progressive Christianity. That's not what the whole podcast, all the podcasts are not about that. They're about other issues. But this was very, very helpful, I thought, based on a lady's book that had been written, and the lady was her guest. So that's something I would encourage our parents to maybe consider listening to. In addition to that, I would recommend Signposts by Russell Moore, or with Russell Moore. Russell Moore is the director of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. They deal with, that group deals with politics and family and, you know, all of the things, ethics, and what Scripture has to say about that. And Russell Moore, to me, is very gifted, very capable, was a professor at Southern Seminary for many years before moving into this position, and I just love to hear his position, his take, his tone, even, on so many things. I think he's a great example of what how we can think biblically about ethics and religious liberty and other such issues. And then there's The Briefing by Al Mohler. He's the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. It's a daily podcast about news and events, and the idea is hearing and thinking about those news things, the news items and events from a biblical worldview, and so it's very helpful. And then finally, Gospel and Life by Tim Keller. I listened to a couple of podcasts in the past few days. Right now, they're doing several short podcasts that are from the book of Habakkuk about this particular season that we're in, talking about suffering, and they've been very, very encouraging and helpful. So those are just a few of the podcasts that I listen to, probably some of the ones I listen to the most.
Yeah, Joel, what about you? What are some podcasts?
Yeah, so one that I think some folks might be interested in or might enjoy is actually a podcast called Three Chords and the Truth, and it's hosted by a couple guys at Southern Seminary, Timothy Paul Jones and Garrick Bailey. And so basically what this is, it's an apologetics podcast. And so each episode, they'll tackle some kind of an apologetics question related to the Bible, related to Christianity. There have been times where they brought on Sean McDowell, who I think actually came here years ago and did something with the youth group here went to. Josh McDowell's son. So they'll talk to other people, have conversations with other apologetics guys. But the other thing that they'll do is they'll look at like a rock and roll, like classic song, and think through, you know, what's the worldview here? How does this, you know, either fit with Christianity, like with Christian principles and worldview? How does it go against that? How can we think about that biblically? So just an example of one of their recent ones, it was the apologetics question was, were the stories of Jesus borrowed from pagan sources? That's the apologetics question. And then the song is We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel. So, you know, there's apologetics, it's, you know, really good conversations, but then some also like pop culture analysis. And then they've also done this thing with some of the big movies that have come out in the last year. They just did a whole episode just talking about Avengers Infinity War or Endgame, or the final Star Wars movie, and just talking about, you know, what are themes we see here that, that are echoes, you know, or do kind of parallel with the Christian story, and, you know, what are ways that it, you know, kind of diverges. And so I just think a lot of students, a lot of, you know, young adults, people, you know, my age particularly, and younger, I think would enjoy it a lot, because it helps us to think biblically, but there's also some kind of cultural, just thinking through those things, which I think is helpful, because a lot of us enjoy that, but to think, you know, from a Christian perspective, I think it's helpful to have someone kind of guide us and help us to think biblically that way. So another one I would just mention quickly, it just, if you like to, I've enjoyed some podcasts that dealt more with kind of like true crime or reporting and things like that. So there's one called In the Dark. They've just done two seasons, and it's you know, it's not like a Christian podcast, but just again thinking about issues in our, you know, in our world, and certainly you see the depravity of man. But really well done and well produced and tasteful and so on. But that's a podcast that is probably in one of my, I don't know, top five, just in terms of quality. And in their second season, they were dealing with a case that ended up becoming national news and going to the Supreme Court. And in part, some of the things, the changes that happened in terms of just the justice and some of the details of the case had to do with the reporting that they had done and some of the legwork that the reporters had done. So that's a pretty high quality podcast. I like that kind of thing sometimes. So
I love Dr. Timothy Paul Jones. One of my kind of more intriguing classes that I've taken at Southern was his discipleship and family ministry class, and any chance that he has an opportunity to mention Star Wars specifically, he does it. It's really, really interesting. He's a self-proclaimed nerd, and he definitely is, but he's so cool. Yeah, I love that podcast. It's really good. So I have two podcast recommendations for you all. One of them is kind of serious. The other one is definitely not as serious. So the first one, I told my buddy Cole Fakes I would plug his podcast, but this podcast is called So We Speak. So much like Dr. Mueller's The Briefing, it's an analysis of kind of things that are going on and dealing with those in a Christian worldview. I really appreciate Cole's nuance and Cole's dealing with difficult topics. So this podcast he's actually doing with his dad, who's an executive pastor at a big church in Oklahoma City. And so it's really cool to kind of hear them talk about different things. They're very clear and nuanced thinkers, but I really, really enjoy the podcast. It's helped me think through some topics, I think, one, a little bit more biblically, and two, allowing myself to have nuance. And I think as well, like as we're kind of thinking about particularly controversial subjects, I think Cole especially has helped me kind of understand that if I plant my flag somewhere upon my Christian worldview, it's an okay thing to say that. So different topics like abortion or immigration, things of that nature, as a Christian, how do we deal with those things? And whenever we plant our flag there, can we philosophically and biblically still stay grounded enough to say, like, yeah, this is just where I stand, and we can agree to disagree on certain things within those kind of particular subjects. So really like that one. My next one, you guys, is the Office Ladies podcast. So for any fans of The Office, basically the lady that plays Pam and the lady that plays
Angela,
that's right.
It is Angela.
It is Angela, that's right. Break down each episode, and they're going season by season, and it's hilarious. One, because they bring in guest people, whether it's a producer, a director, or other actors in the show, and they talk about what it was like to be there on that set each day. It's definitely not like a Christian podcast, but it's really funny, and if you're an Office fan, it's kind of like getting a sneak peek behind the curtain of The Office. So I really, really enjoy that. And I've actually got one more now that I'm thinking about it. I really like Revisionist History by Malcolm Gladwell. If you're a big fan of Malcolm Gladwell's writing, he's, again, not a Christian guy, but is a brilliant writer. I think he is probably one of the best communicators out there right now. And if you like somebody that has a pretty good, like, NPR radio voice, he's one of the best podcasts to listen to. But he takes a look at different things that have happened in history and kind of different angles of that. Sometimes, I will admit, he has kind of a bent bias toward what he's kind of looking at. But I do appreciate him wanting to kind of look at things from a different angle and trying to really empathize with the people that he's interviewing. So I really enjoy him on that. Okay, so with that said, guys, the last kind of big thing that we're going to be talking about is maybe just some websites that people in our church and maybe even other Christians can partake in. And again, these can be very serious or they can be kind of funny. So Brent, what are a couple of websites that maybe have been encouraging or helpful to you kind of during this time?
Sure. I guess I jotted down three. Two are somewhat similar and the other one's a little bit different. The first one is the Gospel Coalition. I go probably to the Gospel Coalition website more than any other website that I go to because the articles are fantastic almost always. And then also because they have great material when I'm actually studying a text. There are sermons, there are things that I can find that will help me get behind the text and understand the relevance of the text. So the Gospel Coalition, another, the Desiring God website, which is the website of John Piper and his ministry, very helpful. One of the things I find incredibly helpful there is look at the book where John Piper is actually looking at a text and you're looking not at him, you're looking at the text itself on the screen and he is actually using a pen and he's circling words and drawing lines between words to help you think about and see how you should tear down a text or tear apart a text and put together a text. And it's just it's a great example. Over and over as you watch it, you learn by example how to think about a text that you're trying to, a verse or two that you're trying to interpret. So that's one that I have found very, very helpful on the Desiring God website. There's sermons and other things that are also very helpful, articles. And then the last one, just a little bit different, it's a website called Got Questions, and then a question mark. And if you just look that up, and it's about Bible questions. And so if you have a Bible question, you can type in your question, and almost certainly they'll have an answer to that question or one very similar. And again, I've not read the whole thing because I don't know how many hundreds of questions they have answered on there. But every time I've gone to it, it has been, I felt, very helpful and very biblically sound. So if you have a Bible question, that would be one place that you might go and just try to see what they say. And you'd find a paragraph or two or maybe even an article that would help you think correctly about that question.
Yeah. Joel, what about you? What are some websites?
Yeah, and one thing I'm thinking about, just even as we go through these last couple of lists with the podcasts and now the websites, is, you know, we talked in our last podcast about social media, and one of the things that I think is important for us to just have in mind or to recognize is that, like, there's algorithms or there's certain, you know, whatever, the way that these systems are set up, where they're showing us things in our feed that they think we want to see, that they think we will click on, or just that they think we should see as opposed to things we shouldn't see. And so that's being kind of controlled and curated by whatever, Mark Zuckerberg, some sort of algorithm.
The main.
And so I think what's good about, you know, any of these podcasts or websites like the ones that Brent mentioned is that we get to go there and we get to decide, oh, this is something of interest to me. This is something I want to learn more about. And it's not just being fed to us, like, this is what we think you should see. And I think that's just a good balance when you recognize, you know, we're not getting to see everything sometimes when we're on our social media accounts. So we get to take control a little more over our experience. And hopefully that's, you know, that's a positive thing. We get to go deeper and learn about the things that are actually important to us. Hopefully. So another one that I'll just mention, because we've already mentioned some of his podcasts and so on, is Al Mohler. His website, albertmohler.com, I believe, is the URL. But you'll find the briefing, the podcast that Brent mentioned on there, which is like the daily news one. He also does another one called Thinking in Public. It's not as often, but he'll interview an author, interview some sort of a, you know, scholar or figure. One he did recently that I think people might enjoy is he did an interview with Andrew Peterson, who's a musician and a songwriter and also a novelist or a writer. And he's written a book on Christian creativity recently called Adorning the Dark. So he has a long conversation with Andrew Peterson. He actually also, he wrote or co-wrote the song Is He Worthy, which we've done here at South Canyon a few times. So that's just an example. The cool thing about the website is, again, you can look at the different articles, all kinds of topics, you know, on all, you know, ethics and Christianity and so on. And you can you can read some of those, like even the interview with Andrew Peterson, you could just read it. You could sit down and scan through it and read it in maybe just 15 or 20 minutes, or you could listen to the whole conversation as a podcast. It's kind of up to you. But a lot of really good content there, and you can kind of take it in whichever way works best for you. But there's a lot of good stuff on there.
And you can find a link to the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary if you ever want to apply there.
not Midwestern.
No, not Midwestern. Anyway, Midwestern is a great school. My two websites that I'm thinking of, again, I told my buddy I would do this, but the So We Speak podcast has a website called SoWeSpeak.com. It's really great. The best thing about SoWeSpeak.com is Cole is primarily the curator of that website. And so what he's doing weekly is sending out this thing called the Weekly Speak. And essentially what that is he's read articles and basically written summaries of those articles and kind of how do we think about this in a Christian worldview. For somebody that doesn't like reading long-form articles like, The New Yorker or the New York Times, other things that have times in their title. I don't often go to those websites, but Cole has subscriptions to all of those, and so he reads all of those for me and then kind of breaks them down and helps me understand them, and especially deals with them really well in a Christian worldview. The other one, I'm going to a specific thing on a specific website, but I think everybody should check out on the Nine Marks website, ninemarks.com. Is it ninemarks.com or org? I can't remember. It might be .org. Anyway, there's a specific article on there called A T4G Sermon, What Is and What Isn't the Gospel by Greg Gilbert. I'm not a fan, again, I just confess that I'm not a fan of long-form articles, but I read that whole sermon and was just deeply, deeply encouraged by Greg's appeal to the gospel throughout all of Scripture, and him showing, what is the gospel and what isn't. So if you want to be really encouraged by what we believe in as Christians, I would really recommend reading that sermon. Okay, so with that said, and Brent's, I can't remember, you said you might have something, but we've got just basically some like simple music recommendations for you all. Mine is not going to be necessarily like, you're going to be like singing worship in your car, but you might be jamming out a little bit. So I'm going to start actually with Joel. Joel, what are some maybe music things that you would recommend to us at this point in time?
Yeah, I think one album that I would just maybe mention is, it's called His Mercy Is More, the hymns of Matt Boswell and Matt Papa. And what I like the musical style. It's kind of a more kind of laid back worship style, but it's they've written a lot of modern hymns. So His Mercy Is More, Christ the Sure and Steady Anchor, I'm blanking out. There's a couple others that we sing here, Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery, that we sing here at South Canyon. And then some others that folks may not be familiar with, but it's all really good stuff, and I like the style as well. So that's a good album. That's a more recent album that I'd recommend.
I think as far as modern hymn writing, those two are kind of premier at it right now. I really, really enjoy their music and their writing. Brent, what about you, brother?
Yeah, I guess I listen to lots of different stuff, and so I guess the one that I've been listening to lately, or the group that I've enjoyed, is City of Light, and we sing one of their songs.
Yeah, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me.
Yeah, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. It's a fantastic song, and there are several other songs along with that on the album that they've done. Have they done one or more
a
than
couple,
one now?
Yeah.
A couple.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good. Yeah. Encourage you to consider that.
Yeah, they're really good too, and good congregational worship songs. Everybody can sing them. I can sing them, so that's a big deal. For me, this isn't necessarily like worship album, but it is a Christian artist. There's a guy named Gavi. So if you guys don't know who Gavi is, Gavi produced a lot of kind of the early Christian hip-hop records for Lecrae, KB. So if you ever hear like, Gavi, get him, that's this guy. But Gavi has released a couple of albums that I would encourage you to listen to. I think they're just really neat. If you like kind of hip-hop sounding albums, he released an album called Panorama in 2018 that is seriously one of the coolest albums, as far as, like, kind of at times there's a stigma with Christian music that it seems like very structured and robotic, but Gavi really, really has a cool album of just, it's really good hip hop. I really, really enjoy it. And he actually just released another album last week called Heathen, and it was really, really good. I've listened to it a couple of times. I would recommend it to you all. He's got a track on there called Not Too Far. I really, really enjoy it. It's a very kind of emotionally stirring song that he talks about God not being too far from those that he loves. Really, really encouraging song. So all of that to say, guys, there's one last question I want to ask you guys. What is, like, maybe one kind of fun, silly activity that you filled up your time with as you think about redeeming the time? What's, like, one thing for you guys that you've done to try to redeem the time at this point in time? What about you, Brent?
Well, I don't know how funny it is.
Sure.
But one of the things that we're not able to do during this season is to go to exercise at a gym. And Melody and I have been going to Planet Fitness now for a while together. It's just a way for us to kind of be together as well as do something that we probably need each other's accountability to do consistently. So we have been doing that for a while, and now that's not an option. So now I'm dropping for 30 or 40 push-ups or whatever I can do, you know, before I take my shower every morning. It's just one thing I've kind of added to my routine just so I have some physical exertion and attempt to get my heart rate up. I tell you a funny story along these lines real quickly. When Josh and Christine were staying downstairs at our house for the last month or so before they're moving toward Midwestern, the seminary we disparaged jokingly just a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, before, when they were living with us, I got to this point where I felt like, man, I haven't done anything physical. So Josh said, well, I've got an app, and we can work out together. And I wanted to do that. And I had a hard time getting up and down the steps in our house after that. It wasn't a crazy, terrible workout. It was just that I'm in bed. I have legs. And so anyway, all that to say, I think it's important for us during these days to be, to exercise and to get our heart rate up so that we can stay healthy. And that's the very simple way that I'm doing that now, with just some push-ups.
Yeah. What about you, Joel?
Yeah, well, definitely for the family, and we've been loving the weather we're having right now, though probably by the time we release this podcast, it'll be like snowing again, so who knows. But right now, you know, we had some good weather, some sunshine, and so we've been trying to get out and have walks quite a bit as a family, or sometimes the kids are on their scooters or bikes or something. But so that's been good in a way to just stay sane, I think, and it's a gift from God. One thing that's maybe a little more funny or whatnot is that I will run sometimes as well, just on my own, just kind of out. We have some pretty isolated kind of roads over on the valley where we live. But my brother-in-law, or Kimmy's brother-in-law back in Oregon, had kind of encouraged some of us to, like, do a race together, like, all in the same day or the same period of time, and, like, train for it and prepare. So it wasn't anything impressive. I did a mile, so I wasn't going to go for some big 5K or half marathon or anything like that. But I did participate, and I my time is not that fast, but I was able to do a little better than I was hoping, or a little better than I had in the past. So I took part in this race. I think it was called, like, the COVID sanity race or something like that. So that was something that I took part in, just, you know, via Marco Polo app. We all kind of posted our, like, before the run and after the run videos and our times and so on. So that was something that I did in the last couple weeks.
That's cool. I have done kind of a couple of things that I usually don't do. One, I grew out a quarantine mustache, and most people didn't really love it, but I liked it. So I'm working on the beard again. The other thing that I've done, I don't know if you guys can tell, I just got a haircut, but I've watched a ton of YouTube tutorials on how to cut a bald fade with clippers. And so actually Laura cut my hair last night. As you're watching this podcast, it may look worse in a couple of weeks, I don't know, but it looks really good. So I've watched a lot of tutorials on that. And then the last thing I've been doing that I usually don't do is I've been keeping a journal, just writing in it once a week, kind of having a main idea or main thought of that week, and just writing it down and trying to, one, encourage myself in kind of what I've seen God do in my week or just some things I'm learning as a young pastor, I want to just kind of write those down, and hopefully whenever I'm like 80, I can look back on on this journal and see how kind of young, dumb, and foolish I was. So all that to say, we hope you guys will join us next time on our South Kingdom Baptist Church podcast. But until then, we'll see you guys next time.